It's Friday, nerds, and we've got some geeky fun in store for you this week. Today, I finally find the summer camp I dreamed about in high school, complete with swords, quests, and a pile of hopeful knights in training. After that, it's time for some event highlights for you to check out this week, as well as one nerd's views on some of the latest summer movies. Welcome to Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM. Growing up, I'd be hard-pressed to find an adult who knew how to play Dungeons & Dragons, or really any game besides Monopoly that didn't use a simple deck of cards. But even growing up as a geek, there was one game that seemed like nothing more than a myth. And these days, games are everywhere. We made a movie about Battleship, if you forgot on purpose. So it shouldn't be much of a surprise to realize that the game I'd always wondered about could be so very easy to find. Alright, are you ready for the magic word? Now this is a word that makes geeks frightened and enthralled all at the same time, so be careful. Here we go. LARPing. Alright, so live-action role-playing, usually known as LARPing, is exactly what you did if you've ever played one of those murder mystery dinners. You've got a role, your friends have a role, you all act out scenes together, in between courses of dinner, and the whole thing's a game. That's it. And sometimes LARPing is really that simple. Other times, you've got a character sheet, you've got abilities, you're totally in character all the time, but there's a system built around it. But growing up, neither one of those called to me. What I wanted more than anything was just to smack someone with a sword made out of foam. The Pacific Crest Garrison is the brainchild of Grant Law, a teacher here in Portland. His official title within the garrison bounces back and forth from commander to king and back again, but his passion remains the same: teaching kids about fencing and chivalry with PVC pipes and a bushel of foam. I traveled to the apparently cathedral-like halls of the garrison to learn about Grant's love of swordplay and how he turned this into the summer camp of my dreams.
The way it started out was I love fencing. I did fencing in college and started working with kids and really wanted to teach them fencing. I think it's a wonderful sport, but it's not any regular city is going to have a fencing studio somewhere where people can do it. But it's not commonly known. You know, it's hard to even watch the Olympic events for fencing. It's hard to find them. People aren't into it, which blows my mind because it's so fun and awesome and fun. But you know, it's fast. It's hard to understand.
Well, it doesn't. I think that I only took a term of fencing, which isn't anywhere near enough, but what I did notice is that that experience did not reflect the Princess Bride, which is what I wanted out of the class.
Yeah. No, I get that. Right, and that's actually nice. What we're doing actually introduces a little bit more of that. And when I did fencing, I had a great time, but I love the Princess Bride. I get that as well. Uh-huh. And the people that are truly competitive, it loses a certain amount of its charm. Fencing is still really fun. As a martial art, I really enjoyed it because it's full on, full contact, full force. You don't hold back.
Yeah.
And of course, nobody gets hurt, which is nice, but you can do it. You can get away with it. But it takes everything. And it's exhausting and fun and exciting and complex. And there's so much fun interactions between the person you're fencing with. It feels like dance sometimes, or like a chess game that's happening. Chess salsa, I don't know.
Yeah.
fencing. We love fencing.
Right.
And I wanted to introduce that to the kids and get them, they're already excited about it. But in order to do it, it really requires a huge outlay of money in order to get all the supplies that you need. And that was limiting. And I got frustrated trying to figure out how to do that. And I just, personality-wise, I have a hard time asking people for anything. So I wasn't about to go write grants or... I'd much rather just figure out a solution we can do on our own. And at some point in the past, I encountered these boffers and thought, well, that's a great solution. We'll just make these things. And so the materials are easy to get.
Uh-huh.
For just a straight boffer, those things I described, duct tape, the PVC pipe, the pipe insulation, you can get at Home Depot or any kind of home supply shop for cheap.
Sure.
Super cheap. And you throw it together and then bang, you're fencing. But the thing that blew my mind, I was pleasantly surprised about, was all the techniques that I learned for Western fencing work beautifully with buffers. You can do all the same stuff with buffers, and it works. And if you utilize those techniques, you win when you're fencing people. It's great. So it was the perfect solution to trying to introduce these kids to fencing, but do it in a way that they can afford to do, even on their allowance, that they can make with their hands. And that ended up being a whole another element of this world that's wonderful, is the crafting aspect. That it's not just a matter of they're fencing and they're having fun beating each other, but they also get to fabricate something. They can make it personally significant. They can decorate it. They can make it really big if they want a huge one or a small one or have two.
Yeah.
There's a huge amount of ability for an individual kid to express their own personality and how they build it, do it. That's great.
Wow. And so, and if they don't like it, it's something that's, if they don't like what they built, it's cheap enough that they could start over and try a different style out, or do, you know, do whatever they wanted, kind of.
Yeah, which is also another great thing, because, you know, we're, especially these days, there's so many examples of the fantasy out there in the movies and the books and that sort of thing. And it's all visually exciting,
yeah,
if it comes to the movies, that sort of thing. So it's kind of divorced from reality to a certain extent. Or Dungeons and Dragons, like the games like that, are very driven by images. The books are full of beautiful images that people have painted and drawn. And they're all very exciting. You know, things like a big long pole with double-headed axes on either side, right?
Right.
Or
a
weapon. Or even like Star Trek botleths and all these things that are visually appealing, look cool, but in practical reality, you know, there's a reason you don't see these weapons in any of the historical cultures, right?
Right.
It's because they don't work. And if your life is dependent on it, you don't use things like that that don't work. You use something that works. And so kids want to make those. That's what they're excited about.
Yeah.
And as long as we got plenty of materials, I'll let them do it. They'll make their horrible monstrosity and big, enormous thing. And then they get out and they actually try and fence someone with it and lose.
Yeah, so
they learn something about...
Let's back off the big, huge axe. I remember someone building one of those in college, and it just... It was not great.
It looked awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure it looked awesome, but... yeah.
On that note, do you watch Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what do you think? Oh, gosh, what are they called? The Dothraki, the curved...
Oh, yeah.
Are those okay?
Oh, well, those are...
Is a
Kokesh
really look just like that? Wow, they're so curvy.
Okay. Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I would fight someone with one of those.
Okay, wow.
But it might be fun to actually do that experiment, make one of those out of a buffer. And then, and again, that's kind of one of the things that's fun about it. And a lot of kids do that. So I've tried to set things up so that, you know what kids are like. They're all different. They all have different interests.
Yeah.
And some of the kids get out there and all they want to do is jump up and butt heads and fence. And they don't want to waste a lot of time making stuff. They just want to fence, learn the skills, and do well. And that's great. They totally can do that. There's room for that. And some kids really like to build, though. So, and there are lots of examples of kids I've worked with that were like that. They're not that interested in fencing. They want to make stuff. We've expanded this into armor, so there's also room for that. Kids that appreciate working with metal or design elements, they can work in that realm. There's lots of room for different personality types to find ways to be successful in the club, the way I've set it up, which is really rewarding. It's nice. But some of the kids have enjoyed designing new weapons, and they can be very inventive about it and goal-oriented, thinking through what would be a particular strategy, what would be a good shape in order to accommodate that. So something like those weapons from Game of Thrones with that big long curve, someone could ask, okay, well, how could I use that tactically? Could I capture someone's weapon? What would that look like? How would I build this to facilitate that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
It'd have to be strong and not break. So how do I do that? So it gives some of the kids that have that affinity for engineering and that sort of thing to work through problems.
Wow. Gosh, and then on top of all this just skill building, you have added a real fantasy theme to what's going on here. There's a lot more than just building and learning. You've got missions.
Well, And just what we're talking about here is this the camp that I'm running right now.
Right, yeah. So, okay, good point. So the Pacific Crest Garrison.
We started off as a club and a mm-hmm. class, like a physical education class at Pacific Crest Community School last year where I was teaching. And there was a great deal of interest. Kids really bought into it. And, of course, working as a teacher in the summer, you got a lot of free time. So I thought it would be fun to run this as a camp, give it a try. I had to have the kids for an hour at most at a time, so having them all day, I imagine we could get a lot of construction in and really cover a lot of skills.
Yeah.
So we've been working on that, and it's been a really nice way to do it. And again, like I've nerded out on this so far, it's embarrassing to tell people about it. There's a whole, the fantasy theme is big in here. Kids have ranks and titles, and we've had a couple of students get knighted with a full-on ceremony.
Yeah.
One of the things I've done is I've designated 5 crafts. That's kind of how I've broken it down with the kids to try and help them find a place where they fit in. So the 5 crafts: skills, arming, armory, tactics, and chivalry. And chivalry is the thing that I push really hard in this. And partly because when they're fighting, it's totally up to them. It's on the honor system whether they get hit. There's no
right.
judge that says,
okay.
you got hit. They have to say, yeah, you got me on the leg, so now I'm going to lose my leg. And if they don't follow those rules, then the whole game no longer is fun. And it's just a big mash, smash,
yeah.
bang, bang. And there's no room for people to show their skills. So it ends up being important for them to be able to do that. So chivalry is hugely important, but I extend it to other aspects like helping other students learn techniques,
yeah.
That sort of thing.
Wow.
So 5 crafts, 5 days of camp. First day, we just focus on basic skills, which is important for safety.
Right,
anybody
sure, yeah.
that's done fencing knows.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there is potential for injuries.
You're going to spend the week hitting each other with things. So yeah.
Yeah, so we cover skills. Second day, arming. They build weapons. I teach them how to do it safely, how to design them for their body size and that sort of thing. Third day, they do armory, so building armor.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we use steel that, again, you get from Home Depot cheap. But when you cut that stuff, the edges are sharp. So I really hammer home safety on that. But it's great. I'm wearing some right now.
Yeah. And it looks
away.
Good.
It's steel armor. It's
yeah,
awesome.
It is. It totally is.
But, you have to use some different techniques, but you don't need a lot of specialized tools.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a forge. So kids can just do it with a little bit of money. And
yeah.
you can actually make articulations. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But so they do that. I teach them how to do it safely. Fourth day tactics is what we're doing today, where we're focusing on things like dual wielding or some of the more advanced techniques. And just thinking tactically on how you utilize your resources to
yeah.
be successful when fencing someone. And then the last day is chivalry, and for that we run missions. I hate calling them missions, but that's essentially what it is.
We use quests? I don't know.
The term I came up was appeals for action.
Okay.
So the idea being the community comes to the garrison, which is charged with protecting the local communities, and they make appeals for action. Help us with this problem. So last week was the first week. There were problems that came up. There had been livestock that had been missing and banditry on the road to the south. So we had other people come in and play characters, and the whole story unfolded. And they ended up going on these missions where they'd have to like battle a group of bandits that these guys happened to have the healing potion solution, so that every time they got injured, boom, they could heal up and they're back at
okay.
it. So they lost and had to limp back to the garrison, heal up, think tactically, go back, and then they were able to best the bandits.
Oh, wow.
And then they gained some information that led them to the bandits' old hideout that had been taken over by a large monster, which was Commander Emmett, who was a high school student last year,
uh-huh.
totally bought into this whole program beautifully and was wonderful and went through all the hoop jumping to become a knight and really helped get other people fired up about it. So I hired him for this program. He built this beautiful big costume full of all these foam panels and spray painted green and plastic Sprite bottle eyeballs and was out there in the park. And so they had to go out and figure out how to defeat this huge, horrible monster.
Oh, wow. And pictures of that are up on your Facebook page.
Yeah, the Facebook page. Uh-huh. There's Pacific Crest Garrison has a Facebook page, and there's some photos there of the kids out there trying to beat up on the monster.
Okay, and I know you've got to get back to it. So, because...
Yes.
There's more action coming.
Right.
But this is the second week of your camp, and it's running for 4 weeks.
Right.
And they're four separate sessions, right?
Correct, yeah. Someone doesn't have to do the whole... Every week, I think it's going to end up every week, there's going to be different stories unfolding at the end. But we cover the same skills. If someone's already done it, we just ask them to work a little bit harder and achieve a little higher level of ability.
Okay.
But yeah, anybody could come in during week three or week four and still have a great time.
Okay, so they just need to, if people are interested in joining in, they just need to look for the Pacific Crest Garrison online on Facebook or
there's also
a website as well.
Yeah, there's a website as well. The URL is horrible. I won't say it right now. But if you do a Google search for Pacific Crest Garrison, you'll find it. And there's a registration form and information about the camp there.
Yeah, and we'll put up a link on X-Ray, so it should be fine. All right, well, thank you very much for chatting with me.
Thank you very much, Richard.
When life's a round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines and corner scenes and footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
All right, I'm outside with Commander Emmett of the Pacific Crest Garrison. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right, and you are actually working here with Grant to put on this whole program.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so what is the job of commandering entail?
I generally help Grant with keeping them in line. They're currently over there doing armor craft. But I help Commander Grant keep them in line and help when instruction is needed.
Oh my gosh, I think we're going to have to move away from the armor.
Yeah.
All right, so keeping them in line. It's Thursday, so day four, so today is all about tactics.
Yeah, so first day, Monday, was about basic skills, so footwork for fencing, the four basic parries, the two highs, two lows, and then also a disengage. Which is basically you trick them into going from one parry to another and duck under their blade while they do it to hit their open, their where they went to open.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday was arming, so they learned how to make foam weapons and spent the day doing that. Yesterday was armor making, so using galvanized steel, sheet metal, and making VAM braces. If it's your first time, but we have some returning people, so they were doing more complex stuff.
Okay. And from the sounds of it, these are all the traditional things you would learn in, like, your first couple of weeks in a fencing class. Like, that was day one, basic skills. It's...
Yeah, yeah. Using basic techniques for, like, adapting stuff from Western fencing gives a good... base for the people in the club to use to get better at fencing and also fence safer. So more controlled as opposed to just flail. I'm going to swing my sword till I hit something.
All right. And besides being the commander, you were also the first knight of the garrison. How long have you been working with foam weapons?
I've actually worked... It was... probably 4 years ago, I started making boffers initially for Pacific Crest, the school that this is taking place at, for an all-school outing, and then they stuck around, and I've been fighting with them and making them pretty much since then. Earlier this year, Grant came in and provided a much more structured system to it all, so adding ranks such as recruit, squire, knight, we're gonna have a king shortly, and bringing in actual armor making and updating safety rules for the boffer weapons, because they were not they were not as well thought out as they should have been.
Well, still, I mean, it's fun. They're foam. They're pretty safe on their own.
Pretty
but
safe
just...
on their own. But now with the new stuff added, it's a lot safer and a lot. It's just so much more awesome.
All right, and the students here are pretty much all ages at this point, middle school, high school. And you'd recommend the program for other students in the area? If they're looking to do what sort of thing, who would you recommend?
If they're looking, generally the age limit, the minimum age is 10. We can, depending on how mature you are, we can make exceptions. We're generally, if you're interested in fighting, if you're interested in making stuff, if you're interested in chivalry, that's the fifth craft, that's what we'll be covering. Generally we cover it all of the weeks, but on Friday we kind of take all of those skills you've learned and push you out to deal with adventures and things that are going on in the world around. So if you're interested in that aspect, that's another good thing. It's generally good all around for people who aren't quite go football, go basketball, go baseball. Also part of the goal of all of this is to use materials they can get cheaply and easily. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not in the club but you've taken it and you know all the ghouls, you can and all safety stuff, you can make your own weapons, invite a friend over to show them the basics and go at it. It's a really good jumping off point.
On that note, how physical is it? Is it a workout?
It's a bit of a workout. Because the normal fencing stance is you're crouching down and going back. So doing the using the fencing stance, you will definitely feel it in your legs. Being hit, while it doesn't really hurt a lot, you can still get sore. It's definitely physical. Most of the actual formalized fencing form is used in practice, going over the basic skills, going over tactics, which is more advanced movements. Mm-hmm. But once you actually get out in the bouts, you're much more free. Generally, you can keep crouched, which is a good way. Bending your knees and keeping your legs springy is a good way to quickly move about. But you don't have to. You don't have to, and everybody ends up just having their own style that they stick to. But it's still good to know the basics.
Right, so we've seen people in armor, dual wielding, using big spears and battle axes and stuff, single sword. What's your favorite style?
I actually stick with the arming sword, which is the basic weapon, which is the first weapon you have to make. It's there's a standard length for whoever uses it right now. The length it has, overall length it can't exceed, is from your fingertips to the middle of your sternum. And that's as long as your arming sword can be, and that's a one-handed sword. And you can dual wield those. You can just use it one-handed, you can use it with one of them and a dirk. But I tend to prefer just using one, because I also did fencing before I even started Boffer, so I'm a bit more used to using one hand to do all the parries and stuff. And whenever I've tried doing dual wielding, what do I do with this hand? Oh, right, I can use it to parry or attack. I'm getting a bit better at that, but I still just prefer one-handed.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, and enjoy your last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Your next 2 weeks.
Next 2 weeks. We're halfway through. Hope more people show up.
More with Hoff and Cable. Quite indefatigable. Between our quests, we seek to best and impersonate our Cable. It's a mystery life in Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. You're listening to Nerd Portland Radio here on X-Ray FM. Thanks again to Grant Law and Emmett Graham for chatting with me about their camp. The Pacific Crest Garrison is running summer camps for the next 2 weeks, and if you've got kids who might be interested in taking part, you can find them on Facebook or I've got a link posted on our show's X-Ray site, which is xray.fm/program/nerds. Let's wrap up with some events this week. First up, and here's one that I almost can't believe we haven't talked about yet, Geek Trivia with hosts Court Weber and Bobby Roberts. These two guys have been radio and podcast hosts that I've listened to for the last decade, and they really know how to entertain a crowd. So if you're over 21, get a team of up to 5 together and meet up at the Kennedy School on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Actually, go earlier because the place fills up every time I've been there. The trivia is totally broad, so you'll need to bring your video game nerd and your 80s TV nerd and your programming nerd. Just bring them together, go for fun. But if you're in a competitive mood, there's usually around $200 in prizes given out by Things from Another World. And ties are determined through games of Street Fighter projected on the big screen. So it's just fun to watch. There isn't a trivia event in town I think I'd rather go to. And I say that as someone who's written trivia for events before. All right, so have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet? It opens today, or technically it did last night. And while this is technically a Marvel movie, it's completely separate from the Avengers superhero niche, and it's just a totally different beast. There's spaceships, there's aliens, and it's a comedy. Not just like Tony Stark talking and shooting off little quips, but it's that guy from Parks and Recreation who spent the whole first season as the goofy loser with broken legs, and he plays this goofy loser in space who calls himself Star-Lord. The rest of the cast is amazing. There's Zoe Saldana. This is one of the two movies that I've been freaking out about this year. And if you, like me, saw Lucy and were terribly, horribly disappointed, then you should take the chance on this one for some summer redemption. Rotten Tomatoes right now has it as a 90%, and I'm not going to shut up about it for a couple of weeks at least. Anyway, if you happen to watch it and hate it, let us know on Twitter. We're there at NerdPDX Radio. I'd love to hear your reasons for that, because, oh my gosh, it's good. That's all I've got for this week. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for whatever geeky hijinks we get up to next time. I'll leave you with one of my favorites by They Might Be Giants. This is Nightgown of the Sullen Moon. Have a great weekend.
Fell on the door, and you fell on the floor, with your hand on the knob, looking up and abrupt. You forget what you're thinking. Fire alarms go off in your head. You live in the nightgown of the sullen moon. Out the windows lean into the room. In the nightgown of the sullen moon. Drug trip is not a drug trip, so you feel a bit insulted. Spacewalk is like a spacewalk with the corresponding wave. Lost in your nothing but air, with your hand in the air, and your shoelaces tied up together with care. There's a feeling of boredom, of the big whoredom, following dressing up in the nightgown of the sullen moon. How the windows lean into the room. In the nightgown of the sullen moon. In the nightgown of the sullen moon. How the windows lean into the moon. In the nightgown of the sullen moon. Your head is on the moon. It's not necessary to breathe. Forever is a long time. Your head is on the moon. It's not necessary.
You're listening to KXRY Portland. That's X-Ray FM online at xray.fm. Thanks to all our listeners for listening. You just heard Nerd Portland Radio with their episode, The Garrison. The time is 10:29, and coming up in just a couple